All right, welcome on back. BetMGM, the Night Westwood One Sports. I'm Pat Boyle. I'm my guy Cordell Woodland filling in for Brad Evans tonight. Phone number to join, 310-840-4910. Let's go to the guest line. Man, I could feel it. I could feel it coming through the screen. I could feel it emanating off those glasses of his. The beard is fresh. He's got the white tee with the tats. Oh, man, he's going to look good. He's going to look good in his new role. Cody Decker, who is the new morning show co-host of Derek and Decker on our brand new sister station in L.A., 97.1 The Fan, which you can hear on the Odyssey app. Cody Decker and Derek Fisher, the former Laker great. Cody's still co-host of the Regulars podcast with Michelle Beadle. You can find him on Twitter at Decker6. Cody, dude, welcome. Congrats. Holy smokes. This is awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I would be remiss. And by the way, you nailed everything about that thing. The Regulars is Tanya Ray Fox. She would kill me if I did not go ahead and correct that. And Beadle and Decker is with Michelle Beadle. But everything else, dude, you nailed the living hell out of. Love you. Great to be here. Dude, I couldn't be more fired up if I tried. I'm not kidding. I was telling you off the air. This is a legitimate dream job for me. I grew up listening to morning radio in Los Angeles, California. And you know what? The one thing in Los Angeles, California has been sorely, sorely missing: sports radio. You go to every single city, New York, you go to Philly, you go to Boston. You know, you got the WFANs, the 670 scores in Chicago. You got the WEIs, the WIPs, all of these throughout the country, but not a damn thing in Los Angeles, California. I grew up listening to the K-Rocks. I grew up listening to the KLOSs, the Mark and Brian's, the Kevin and Beans, and of course, on 97.1, the Howard Sterns. Dude, this is going to be a wild, wild ride. Can't wait to do it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, and by the way, so anything I do get wrong, I'll just immediately throw our guy Brandon Combs under the bus, because that's that he had in the rundown, is that you were.
Brandon!
Yeah. So anyway.
Brandon!
Anyway. So you're back to mornings with the Laker great and Derek Fisher. What part about the new show are you most excited for?
You know, honestly, it's going to be the chemistry between me and Derek. I'm really looking forward to you guys getting a look at what we're going to have in store for everybody. Because, Pat, you know me. You know what I'm like. You know, I could be very on point. I can be professional, but I choose not to be. And that is something that really is my sweet spot at all times. And Derek is, you know, one, a Laker legend with 5 rings. I mean, I can't stress enough how much this guy is a pro. This guy is a former GM. This guy is a former NBA head coach. And yes, you got to believe he's going to carry himself with the gravitas of a man that maybe someday wants to get back into coaching. But unfortunately, he agreed to do a show with your boy. So I'm going to drag him straight into the nether realm, into our territory in sports talk, and absolutely torpedo any future he has in coaching, because I want to be my co-host for like ever. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. First show on Monday, by the way. So have you been getting used to 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time, LA time? Mm-hmm. Have you been getting used to the 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. alarm clock yet? Like, is Cody Decker a morning bird by nature?
Baby, I've been a morning guy for the last 4 years. And you know what had actually happened for me? It actually took me flying to New York City and Craig Carton putting me on the Carton Show on FS1 for that year. I had to be in studio every single day at 3:45 a.m. And that was in New York time. That was difficult. L.A., no problem. Daddy can get to sleep at 10 p.m., watch all of the sports, not go to sleep before the L.A. sports all kick off, or the San Francisco's or the Seattle's. I can watch every single game, get to sleep at a reasonable time, wake up at 4 like it's nothing, which I do anyway, so I might as well just go in and talk for 4 hours, which I kind of do anyway, so it's nice to get paid for it.
Well, Cody, congrats again on the new opportunity in L.A. I'm sure all the fans out there, they will enjoy the show if it's anything like what you're giving us right now. I do want – let's jump into the baseball talk, and I'm going to bring you to my neck of the woods out here in Baltimore. Baltimore, they've been on the struggle bus to start the year, although they have won 3 of their last 4, including taking 2 of 3 – from the Yankees this in their last series. They had the day off yesterday. Now they start a weekend series up the Beltway in D.C. Any reason to believe that this Orioles team that is hampered by injuries, that is struggling with consistency, could find a way to turn the corner here soon?
Absolutely can. Listen, this is very early in the season. I know it's so easy to hit the panic button, like we saw in Philly and in Boston right out the gate this season, firing both of their managers. But I really don't think Baltimore needs to worry as much. Yes, mired by injury, but it's not just them. They are not special in this factor, considering the fact that there's only currently five teams in the entire AL that are even above 500. Your guys, the Baltimore Orioles, find kind of kicking into groove. And by the way, Pete Alonso is now starting to swing the bat like Pete Alonso. Once Pete Alonso goes, Pete Alonso will go for a while and do some serious damage in that division. I also like the matchup that they have right now. Listen, they're playing against the Washington Nationals, a team they sorely could face right now because Zach Little's on the mound. Let's be real clear. Good numbers by both Colton Cowser, both great numbers by Gunnar Henderson against the Cats. So, listen, I would look at this Orioles team to start motoring in the right direction. There's two AL teams right now I'm looking at to start their run relatively soon, and that would be them and my boys over in Seattle. I like the Mariners. I think the Mariners are going to get it together.
Mm. Yeah, well, I got a question about the Mariners coming up in a little bit, Cody, but we got the first iteration of the Subway Series this weekend, brother, a series very near and dear to my heart, Yankees, Mets, and Queens, and two teams that were heading in very opposite directions, but now the Yanks did just put Max Fried on the IL, and they've lost 6 out of 8. Meanwhile, Carlos Mendoza is seemingly going to make it to MDW and maybe beyond that, and the Mets just swept the Tigers despite still missing Lindor, Francisco Alvarez, Ronnie Mauricio, Luis Robert, and Jorge Polanco. So how do you think this weekend in the Big Apple plays out, and what facet of the series are you looking forward to the most?
Well, good news, you don't lose Max Fried in this particular series, considering the fact I don't think he was getting the ball in either of these games. And good news on Max Fried, no structural damage, apparently, and Dr. Eletrage is going to look over the filings as well. Turns out it's just going to be a bone bruise, so no ligament damage is fantastic news for Max Fried and fantastic news for the Yankees. This is also a team that's going to be getting some of their other studs back. Listen, I think the Mets are going to be fine. Do I think they're going to win the NL East? No, I do not. I think there are better teams there. If any team's going to really start their run, I honestly, out the gate, have thought it's the Phillies from Jump Street. That being said, I think this is going to be a hard-fought series. Listen, the Mets are not a bad team, and now they're starting to win some games as well. They've won 7 of their last 10, so they're starting to get it together. And as you mentioned, no Lindor, but still no problem in those 7 of the last 10. They have bats. They have talent. They have guys in AAA they could bring up that can absolutely help them. I think everybody in New York, as you know, hits the panic button about the Mets pretty harshly because they spent money and the fans are not happy where they spent the money. Because like I said, Pete Alonso is about to get going in Baltimore.
Well, you talked a little earlier about how mid the American League is right now. Most of the American League is underwater as we speak and is given the opportunity for there to be a couple of surprise teams, two of which have been the White Sox and the Athletics to this point in the year. Which of those two teams do you believe in the most right now?
Okay, I will tell you this. I am not surprised about what the White Sox are currently doing. I am not. I have been saying this for an entire year. I want somebody to find these clips and post them because only one man said it and they all called me a madman. I love this White Sox team. I do not believe that this White Sox team will continue to play at this current clip. I really don't. Now, I do think they're playing incredible baseball in a very winnable division that is the AL Central, but I do think this is going to end up being a 500 team when it's all said and done, which they are pretty much right now. They're one game currently over 500. I've been saying from Jump Street that Murakami is going to be the rookie of the year and he's going to hit 40-plus home runs, and so far he's making me look like an absolute genius. I as you mentioned, the other team. Who was the other team? I'm so sorry. Oh, the Athletics. The Athletics were a team that are all up and coming, and I think no one pays attention to them simply for the whole Sacramento of it all. At the end of the day, I do not think they're the best team in the AL West. I do think that is the Seattle Mariners, and the Texas Rangers do intrigue me, and I have to believe that the Astros will rise from the dead like they often do. The only team in that division right now that's an absolute dumpster fire is the Anaheim Angels, and yes, I will refer to them only as the Anaheim Angels.
Yeah. And good, luckily, because of how good the Dodgers have been, you probably don't have to talk much Angels and pretend that they're in Los Angeles when they really are in Anaheim. We're talking with Cody Decker here, former big league ball player on BetMGM tonight, Westwood One Sports. I'm Pat Boyle, Cordell Woodland filling in for Brad Evans tonight. Not only that, he is the new co-host of Derek and Decker on the brand new 97.1 The Fan in LA alongside a Laker great Derek Fisher, the brand new morning show on the brand new station. You can hear it on the Odyssey app. By the way, your new boss, who I think is in some ways your old boss, Andrew Williams, our guy Andrew, wanted me to ask, and I'm going to throw him under the bus because I'm a nice guy. He wanted me to ask you why your shirt is so tight in all the promotional pictures for the new station.
Because it's an XL, and sadly, Daddy fills out an XL more than most people fill out their shirts. I'm sorry I didn't have the money for a double X. There wasn't enough thread to hide these cannons that I call arms. I don't know what to tell you, dude. Daddy's jacked, and shirts can't handle it. I'm sorry if he was offended or felt small in that instance, but that's, you know, that says more about him, right? Come on, Andy.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Cody, it seemed like it was doom and gloom for Tigers fans when we initially got the news about Tarek Skubal. Surgery to remove loose bodies in his elbow, looking like 2 to 3 months, and then it was just a loose body that had to be removed. I mean, that's like, I don't know, well, it's like 2 a.m. at a bar and the lights come on and you're still there. A loose body has to be removed. Anyway, he's back tossing after 2 weeks. How does this impact a wild and incredibly potentially chaotic trade deadline this year for the Tigers and Skubal, considering the dark cloud of an offseason that looms ahead for baseball?
Yeah, let's be real clear. If this Tiger team doesn't get it together, and by the time the trade deadline comes around, Tarek Skubal is going to be the sexiest piece ever available at a trade deadline. This guy's won 2 Cy Youngs in a row, and he will help any team, and I'm sure there's a ton of teams that will throw any possible prospect because of that doom and gloom coming right now to win what might be the final World Series based on every single report we're currently seeing and the ridiculous idea of the salary cap and floor that apparently the owners are floating out there, even though that's not what a salary cap and floor is for. Oh my God, so exhausting. Anyways, I do think that Tarek Skubal will be one of the most sexy pieces that is out there, and everyone under the sun will throw everything they can to get him. But the fact that he's already on a throwing program 1 week out, and somebody did let me know that this was some sort of new surgery that was also done together. So I'm very interested to find out the details of how a man can go from getting his elbow cut open a week ago to throwing literally on the field a week later. That tells me he's going to be back before this deadline of 4 to 6 weeks. I think he's going to be back probably within 1 month. And if that's the case, man, I got to learn whatever this surgery is. And this is going to be a very interesting time. However he bounces back from this injury is going to really tell you a lot of what pitching is going to be like going forward.
Cody, we had a couple of managers get canned before we even made it to Memorial Day weekend.
NBA one of those style. Teams,
you're right. You're right. The NBA has kind of bled into some of these other leagues over the last couple of years with that. Mm-hmm. But in Philly, you know, they let go of Rob Thompson. The Phillies go 12-4 ever since they've moved on from him. In your mind, does that validate the firing, or does it mean that maybe it was a little premature?
It could be where two things are right at the same time, but I honestly am going to say, I wouldn't say it necessarily validates it, but I do think when certain aspects like that were happening, sometimes another voice is very helpful to actually be at the helm. And when you have a guy like Donnie Baseball in there, who already at the time had, 890 wins as a major league manager already, it's not a bad place to actually turn and look. However, I honestly thought it wasn't as much of a different voice in there as much of it was kind of a wake-up call to the team that was in there. Listen, everyone is still expendable. We can move some of your contracts, but it's a team that's also getting older, and it's a veteran team, and it seems like they were starting the year carrying themselves like a veteran team that didn't need to step on the gas. And frankly, someone needed to get them to step on the gas. And since then, as you just mentioned, they have absolutely been playing like their hair's on fire. So different ball club, different NL East all of a sudden.
Talking to Cody Decker here on BetMGM tonight, Westwood One Sports. Make sure you check out the first brand new edition of his new show on our Odyssey sister station, the brand new 97.1 The Fan in LA, Monday morning, 6 a.m. LA time, alongside the Laker great Derek Fisher. Get you some LA questions here in a bit, Cody, but I got to ask you, not only before I ask you about Cal Raleigh going on the IL, which is a kick in the stones for Mariners fans, he was in an 0-for-38 slump and finally busted out of it by washing the funk off, literally showering in his entire uni. And then voila, the next night gets 2 knocks. What is the craziest thing you've done when you were playing pro ball and coming up in the minors to break a slump? I mean, we all know you got to have a good slump buster, right, Cody?
Yeah, no. I'm trying to think of the things that I did. Oh, it's not all that crazy, but I do remember this. I had a game in Frisco, Texas, and it wasn't a game. It was a doubleheader, and it was a true unadulterated nightmare. Dear God, it's one, being in the like dead of August over there in Frisco, Texas, the humidity through the roof. I'm just sweating buckets of vodka that I had the night before with my entire team. Just a true nightmare playing this doubleheader over there in Frisco, Texas. Also, it's Frisco, Texas, so that also is a nightmare. So I'm in there in Frisco, Texas, and I'm playing a doubleheader, and I am 0 for 4 in the first game. And I'm like, damn it. All right, we'll get him in the second game. Go in the second game, and it goes extra innings. I end up going 0 for 5 in that game. An 0 for 9 day. Not week, day. 0 for 9. I went in that bathroom with the bat that I used that day, and I redecorated said bathroom quite well. And then I broke my bat into so many pieces that I put them back in my bat bag, which had about 30 bats in it. It was more to send them a message to knowing what will happen when you do not do your job. I broke out of it immediately. Those bats got plenty scared, and life was good, except that I was in the Texas League, and specifically, like I mentioned, Frisco, Texas. That place sucked.
That's great. Yeah, some Joe Boo style,
gotta let them know. Gotta let them know.
Exactly. Let those other bats know. All right, so back to Big Dumper. You know, a day after breaking out of the slump, he strains his right oblique. He's on the IL. Mariners have started to turn around. They're still a game under 500. Are you concerned this is just a 500 ball club this year and last season was maybe a mirage, Cody?
I am not concerned, but I am concerned about one thing. It is the bats. The bats need to wake up. Last year, it was seeming like they Freaky Friday themselves. They forgot how to pitch for a good portion of the season, which as I've always said and have paraphrased other people in this industry, like a Jake Hassan, who has always referred to them as a God-tier pitching staff. I agree with that assessment. They are a God-tier pitching staff, one seemingly that we don't ever want to talk about. This pitching staff will keep them in every single game throughout the year, and I do think their bats are going to completely wake up. And as the aforementioned great Big Dumper comes back from the IL, I think he'll get himself right. And listen, if he has a down year and hits 25 home runs, that's a hell of a down year. All he needs to do is be productive offensively as opposed to being the 62 home run hitter that he was last year. Don't care about those numbers. I care about him handling the pitching staff and putting up reasonable numbers. And for him, 25 home runs, I won't complain.
Well, Cody, I asked you about a couple of surprise teams in the American League earlier. Mm-hmm. I want to go to maybe the most disappointing team in the American League right now, which is the Toronto Blue Jays, coming off a great run last year, going all the way to the World Series, a game away from winning it all, a couple of plays away, really, from winning it all.
Should have won it all.
Yeah, you can make that argument, honestly, that they should have won it all. I can't quarrel with that. But any faith that they'll be able to turn their season around and get back some of that magic that they had last year?
There's faith, but now we're looking at certain teams kind of pull away a little bit. It worries me that the Rays are just kind of winning at a clip like this, or currently have 28 wins. You know, that team's got not only a talented bunch of players, but a hell of a deep farm system as well. In this injury era of Major League Baseball, that depth is very important, as the Dodgers have shown us for these last couple of years. I think the Blue Jays will get it together, and the good news is this entire division and league is under 500. So those wild card spots are very open to the entire field as we currently stand.
Mm. All right, Cody, let's send you out of here with a couple of quick Dodger Blue questions, since you're going to be talking a whole lot of Dodgers here in your new show, Derek and Decker, on the brand new 97.1 The Fan in L.A. It begins Monday morning, 6 a.m. local time. Cody alongside Laker great Derek Fisher. Paul Skeens still the favorite in the market at BetMGM to win the Cy Young Award, but I think Shohei is winning the thing this year because he's not hitting most of the time now when he pitches, and he's untouchable. He's a 6-1 odds right now, despite the fact that he's got a 0.82 ERA, a 0.82 whip, and 50 Ks in 44 frames. Will Shohei win the Cy Young Award, or is Skeens bound to repeat, Cody?
I really think Shohei's on a mission right now, man. These at-bats that he's taken, the games that he's taking off offensively, and Dave Roberts kind of gave away the game early, man. Shohei wants that at Cy Young Award. If he gets that piece of hardware, it solidifies it. It shuts up every old head that exists in Major League Baseball. All those guys that say, well, back in my day, have to shut their mouths, because this guy has 3 MVPs, should be 4, 3 MVPs, multiple Silver Slugger Awards. He had a 50-50 season, one an MVP as a DH, and he's also has a cannon for a right arm. And if he wins a Cy Young, guys, it's game over. Greatest player of all time. He could literally retire right then and there, stamp it, unanimous, everything. He's the greatest ever. And by the way, it's already too late. He's the greatest ever.
Oh, I know Brandon Combs right now is punching air that thinks Barry Bonds is the greatest player of all time. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Not with Shohei doing.
Not anymore. Doing what he's doing.
All right, Cody, real quick. Dodgers have a hole look quite mortal lately, 6-9 in their last 15 games. And for such a hot start, is this a bit of maybe a delayed kick-in of a back-to-back World Series hangover here? Are they in any kind of danger of not winning the NL West this season with San Diego playing really well?
I mean, I don't think it matters. This team is going to sleepwalk to 95-plus wins and get into the playoffs. I don't think they give a damn if they win the division. They're happy to go in there as the wild card and do it the hard way because this team just can do that. This team 2 years ago won the World Series with their AAA pitching staff. This team last year won the World Series because the bottom of their order absolutely carried them towards the end and outrageous defensive plays. This team just will win. And yeah, there are teams that I think that can challenge them. I think the Braves are going to be very interesting in October. I think that the Diamondbacks will be in there in October. It'll be interesting. And yeah, the San Diego Padres are scary. And yes, they are scary with Fernando Tatis Jr. seemingly doing nothing. Wait till he gets going.
Yeah. Well, Cody, we appreciate all the time, brother. All the best success.
Thanks.
And all the great wishes for you and Derek Fisher on the brand new station, on the brand new morning show, Derek and Decker, 97.1 The Fan in L.A. Our guy, Andrew Williams, leading the crew. Mm-hmm. You and D. Fish are going to do amazing things in the morning, man. Can't wait to follow from afar. You can listen to that show on the Odyssey app if you're not in the L.A. market. Can't wait to hear mm-hmm. it, dude. Thanks for joining us.
You can also watch it live on YouTube at The Fan LA. Check us out.
There you go. There he is. Cody Decker. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter at Decker6 and keep up with all the other stuff he'll still be doing. The Regulars Podcast with Tanya Ray Fox and, of course, Beetle and Decker. All right, we got to take a short break here. And when we come back, we're going to go streaking. Cordell Woodland hit it last time he was with us on the show. We'll see if we can get you a 5 for 5 on this Friday. He's Cordell Woodland filling in for Brad Evans. I'm Pat Boyle. This is BetMGM Tonight on Westwood One Sports.